Welcome to the Help My Unbelief podcast, the number one Christian podcast designed for the unbeliever. Hey guys!
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm great. I'm doing good. How are you guys doing? Somebody else talk.
Well, I know Kyle's doing good.
I'm excited
about this weekend. Next weekend, actually. It's next weekend.
We're doing Rumblequake.
City Quake.
Yeah. Man, that's like, to do that, I'm doing like 15 lawns in 2 days.
Is that going to be like hyper, like Pentecostal, like what happened in that room that day, like super Pentecostal?
Man, I'm praying for it, yeah.
That'd be cool.
We did the, well, I wasn't going to mention that. So I'm going to leave that one alone.
What is it?
No.
You can't leave the listeners.
You can't just start something and then leave it.
Yeah, now you got listeners on the hook, too.
All I'll say was Monday I was hurting really bad. I didn't have any help, and I did the 3 commercials by myself.
Commercials? Commercial properties. We have a media company, too. I'm like, you shot some commercials by yourself? What the heck?
Yeah.
That's really weird.
I popped out 2 of them and then came up for the testimonial, and then I went back and finished the last one, and then I went and did a walkthrough on a fence.
Are you on camera on the testimony show?
No.
Oh, praise the Lord. So you didn't have to go take a bath or nothing?
Yeah.
Nice.
Fortunately.
All right.
Yeah, and I warned him ahead of time. I'm coming straight from the lawn, dude.
Yeah.
Still had the weed-eating junk all over my legs. But he noticed that I was hurting, and he prayed for me. And I'm telling you, the last lawn I went, popped is a walk lawn. I don't get to use a zero turn. Man.
Dude, I told you.
I did not have the pain.
It was so crazy. So I told you about the time where my truck started sputtering. It's never sputtered like it ever. And I prayed for it. And right then, my truck still to this day has never sputtered like that again. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. The other day, me and Coco were on a roof. And I was like, man, I really just want a roof all day today. And it started like raining. It started sprinkling on us. And I go, in the name of Jesus, you move on now. And it stopped. It stopped raining. And I was like, okay. And Coco was there. He saw it too. And then it started raining again. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you get out of here. We're going to finish this roof today. And it stopped again.
Was that Thursday?
Yeah.
I think so.
No, it was Friday.
Are you sure?
It was Friday, yeah.
It was Friday because we finished Saturday morning.
Yeah, it was Friday.
Now I'm trying to wonder. I'm wondering if I was working on the lawn.
And then,
because I did that on Thursday, I think it was Thursday or Friday. I did that on the rain that was.
Oh, you said
coming
it
around
too?
On the fence.
Yeah,
because it started sprinkling. I'm like, Lord, I got to get this done. I got to get to this point at least. You know, let me at least make it
the
to there.
Funny part,
and the rain went around me.
The funny part was on the third one, I heard you on the other side of the roof. You go, oh, Zach, and because it started coming out a little harder, and I heard him say like, oh, well, you know, kind of like he was kind of insinuating, well, it looks like we're kind of cooked on this one. And I was like, I'm gonna try it again. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you get out of here now. And even me, I had a little bit of doubt in that one, but it stop.
On the third one, I was getting ready to cover up holes that we hadn't got to yet. I was like, "This, it's gonna start coming. We've got to get some of this stuff covered up."
Yeah,
by the time I got up there with the stuff to cover everything, there was no point. It had stopped.
We literally roofed the hole.
You're seeing some firsthand prayer.
It was crazy.
Yeah,
man, wait till this city quake. Actually, when this comes out, city quake will be the next day. This comes out on Tuesday. City quake starts on Wednesday.
Yep.
And that's going to be just amazing.
I told Angela, I didn't realize that I was like literally, me and God was having a debacle right in front of you the other day on the roof. Like I was talking to God out loud. Like I literally.
Yeah, you shared this after the class. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. What I told you about the whole knocking doors thing, it was funny, was because I hadn't told anybody about the knocking doors thing that like I'm supposed to knock doors, right? But I had fooled myself into thinking that God wasn't God, right? Because I don't want to do it. And I had fooled myself. But God has never stopped. Now, thankfully, he's talked to me. He talks to me again, you know, besides that. But if I go into a specific issue that I want done, he'll say, knock doors. That's the answer. You want healed from this? Go. Okay. Not doing it. Sorry. Have a good day. you know, and he's kept telling me this for over a year now. You know what I mean? And the other day, Coco had kind of fallen through the roof, and I kind of jarred him a little bit. I was like, bro, I've never fallen on a roof. I've been walking on roofs for 7 years. And about probably 10 minutes later, I almost fell completely through the roof, like to where my foot was in it. And not to mention, I was having a terrible day. I was yelling at God. I was like, what are you doing? Like, it was very chaotic. I was having a chaotic day. Coco was sitting there watching it unfold. And I'm sitting there verbally talking to God now. I'm so mad and upset with him. I am so mad, and I'm going, what are you doing? You're just messing with me now. Stop this. Why are you just screwing with me? This is messed up. Stop doing this. And I mean, my hose would get caught. It was just back to back to back to back to back to back to back. And I've never had a day like this before, ever. The second time I fell through the roof, it was right after that. And at this moment, I'm like borderline enraged, mad at God. Very verbal. Didn't realize I was being verbal, speaking to him out loud. And I go, what are you going to do? Kill me if I don't knock doors? You're going to kill me? And I was like, go ahead, kill me. I was like, I don't care. I'm done. Kill me. Come back. I go off the roof a minute, take a breather. At this point, I'm shaking because I'm so mad. I'm so mad. And I'm like, man, I'm freaking out. I'm shaking. I'm going, God's about to kill me, you know? And then I get up on top of the roof and I fall through the third time. This time Coco has to come pull me out of the hole, right? And I look up and I go, I don't remember exactly what I said, but I said, today, I can't knock doors today. I was like, I've got an open roof. I got to finish it. And I was like, just give me some time. I'll do it. I'm done. And then Coco pulled me out of the roof, and I had to have that conversation with him about the knocking doors thing. I said, okay, I'm done. I was like, you got your way. And then as soon as I submitted, the whole day changed, didn't it?
It did.
From there.
Yep. The Lord just gave me a verse to tell you.
Okay.
Did you get the look on his face?
Because I see it's in Jonah. Okay.
Yeah, Jonah 4, verse 4.
Uh-huh.
The Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this?
Is that it? That's the whole, is it right for me to be angry about this? No. You know, anytime that God's ever had me do something or asked me to do something or put me in a situation, like, it's always turned out differently than I would have thought, you know? And that's what I told him, like, maybe you can help with this, like, because I don't really understand why I'm not. Like, I knocked doors for years. And I feel like there's just this, like, inner rebellious part about me that I can't break myself. Does that make sense? Like, why can't I just flip the switch and be like, stop being rebellious? It doesn't feel like I can do that. It feels like it has to just happen. Does that make sense? Like, whenever I hear myself telling this story about the knocking doors, I feel like I'm an idiot too. Like, everybody that's listening go, this guy's an idiot, just do it. I feel the same way too. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah.
And I don't know why I can't just flip that switch and do it. It's like there's this little rebellious part of me that needs to be worked out, and I can't just flip the switch. Does that make, am I making sense at all?
You are, but it I guess it comes with age, or it comes with experience, I guess. I mean, because like right here, God was very patient with Jonah.
I think he's starting to lose his patience with me,
can lose his patience with you, you know, and when he loses his patience, then he floods the whole earth, or when he loses his patience, you know, he causes plagues and, you know, stuff like that. I mean, when he loses his patience, he makes a point very blunt that can't be misunderstood. Yeah. I mean, in this particular case, he sent a storm All right. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. He refused to go to Nineveh because he didn't think that the Ninevehites, I don't know how to say it,
deserved to
be forgiven.
Yeah.
All right. So he used his judgment on them. And so what does he do? He buys a ticket to go to a whole nother direction, which is Tarshish, I think it is, out in Spain, instead of just going a few miles over to Nineveh. What happened? The Lord sent a storm.
And then they threw him off the boat.
And then he knew that it was his fault. Even they knew that it was his fault.
Yeah, this guy's God's crazy.
And they threw him in, and God sent an Uber fish.
Back to,
All right. Now think this through.
That's an Uber. Uber Black,
baby.
That's
a really bad Uber.
That's an Uber Black.
That's an underwater Uber. The first submarine ride. Think that through.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we don't know what the days of Noah were.
But
like,
how hard would it have been to be in the belly of that fish?
Probably sucked.
That fish is still going to be taking stuff.
It's probably one of the most
still
crazy things
away,
in the world, yeah.
Right? Even if it was a big fish, it makes less sense because they don't even use oxygen. At least it says big fish, but if it was a whale, then at least there would be a reason for oxygen to be in the belly of the whale, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he would go up occasionally and blow out and get more oxygen. So, I mean, I don't know how all that works for them, but at least that would be some kind of air, or makes kind of sort of sense that it would be a whale. But then the Uber whale rides right up to the shoreline and spits him out when God tells him to spit him out. And he says, no, are going here. You know what I mean?
He go there and then he had a bunch of people gave their heart to the Lord
and then
he was still mad? He was still mad about it?
Yeah, that's why here on 4 was after, okay? Jonah was angry at the Lord's mercy for them, and he was upset because he knew he didn't want to go. Just kill me now, Lord.
Oh, wow.
I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. He already knew that it was going to happen. He already told the Lord, I don't want to go because you'll forgive him. I don't want him forgiven.
Yeah.
All right? So he said he'd rather be dead. So he goes over here and pouts after the Lord says, is it right for you to be angry about this? Then he goes over here and he sits and he's just waiting. He's like sitting up on a hill waiting to see Sodom and Gomorrah be damaged, right? But they had all given their heart to the Lord. He didn't even hang around. He gave one of the worst sermons ever and got the whole place to...
That would be me.
You
It'd
know
be
what
a
I'm
terrible
saying?
Sermon. Yeah. Everybody like, did Zach just give an awesome sermon? Well, that's weird.
Totally bad sermon. Repent or you're all going to die in 4 days.
People's like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
He didn't even try to explain it, man. I mean, he was done. So he goes and sits on the hill waiting for the destruction of Nineveh.
And it didn't. And he was mad. No.
And then the Lord actually sent a worm. He sent a plant, had a plant grow, and it actually grew and shaded his head for the day. And then that night he had a worm eat that plant, so it dies, so it wouldn't shade him the next day.
So he had to move.
Yeah. And then he goes, and the sun grew hot. God arranged for the scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until he grew faint and wished to die. Death is certainly better than living like this, he exclaimed.
Does that sound like anybody?
Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Yes, Jonah retorted, even angry enough to die. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and it died quickly. But Nineveh had more than 120,000 people living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? Nineveh wasn't a small city. Nineveh took 3 days to walk across. I mean, it was a very large city.
120,000 people.
Yeah, came to know the Lord. All because of his bad sermon.
You know, and like, here's one thing from here.
Knock doors, Zach.
I will. Maybe. I don't know. I might have to throw this in. But, like, here's what I want to say about hearing that story is, like, I don't want to be like Jonah whenever we figure out what this is all about. I don't want to be like Jonah after. I want to be happy about it. Does that make sense? Like, I want to have a better attitude than him because I don't want to live like that guy, because I'm going to tell you, I am that guy right now. I am that guy. I'm a miserable little turd. God's having a lot of things happen, and I'm questioning why I don't want to do something. I'm putting my foot down and forcing God to move, but I told him this the other day. God gets what he wants no matter what. Like, God's not going to kill me or anything like that. I mean, I think there'd come a point where God's going to keep escalating. God gets what he wants, you know, and God's just giving me an opportunity for it not to get to the whale. You know what I mean? And because he's good.
He is.
He doesn't want to cause you pain. He doesn't want to cause you suffering.
Do you really need the whale?
Maybe, dude. I'm a hard-headed son of a gun, dude. I don't know why either.
I'm stupid, obstinate, and hard-headed as well.
I know. I could tell. You're a lot like me when you were younger, huh?
Worse. I made you look like candy stripers.
Really?
Dude, you don't even have a clue.
Worse,
but,
huh?
But listen, it comes with maturity, and you're fighting maturity. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. You know, look, I swear I don't get it. Like, I don't get it either. I don't. Like, I look at the overview of this thing, and there's something inside me that won't allow me to move forward. Like logically, I think about it, and I go, just do it, dummy. You did it for years, and you were fine. Just go do it. But there's like this rebellious nature in me that it's hard to fight it.
Okay, so if I said, and I'm not taking this point, let me do it like this. Let me do it a different way. If God said there's a million doors behind one of the doors, or $1 million behind the one door that you knock.
Behind one door that I knock?
Yeah, but you got to find the door to knock on. He's not going to tell you what door. And yet you want to argue about it? I mean, this guy had 120,000 souls that he has accredited for his.
And he was still negative about it.
Given the story of salvation too. So there's 120. I mean, you know, from what we understand, what we've been told is there's a precious stone on each crown that you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't even care about all that. My point is that you'll get credit in heaven for the souls that you bring to heaven, right? That's what they say. But he had 120,000 that he didn't want, all because of his anger about it.
So you asked, if there was $1 million behind one of the doors, would I go knock him?
How many doors would you knock to find that $1 million?
The answer is none, but if you told me God's purpose was behind one of them, I would.
Well, that's good what answer. God's trying to tell you, but you won't listen to him either.
No, and I'm being serious.
I try to use monetary.
I genuinely believe that I'm going to be able to make $1 million someday. Making money isn't really that. I mean, I could do that. You know what I mean?
You've known me long enough to know I don't care about the money part.
And I don't either, truthfully. But if you told me God's purpose is behind one of the doors, and that's what I've always thought. Like,
why do you think it wouldn't be?
If I could shift my brain to like just fight, like Angela prays for people, like she sounds like she has so much fun.
I know, like, I was with her when we prayed for one,
so it's just one woman got healed. Like,
why can't you put that mindset right there?
I need to. That's why I wrote it down, because if you told me God's purpose is behind one of the doors, then it would be a lot different.
Well, you always have told me from the beginning you're a numbers guy, number guy, number guy, and you've always spouted numbers at me and I've ignored them.
That's part of the reason, because I know I've gotten to know, I know that some will probably look at me like I'm a young Christian, but I've been in a relationship with God for a long time. And one thing that's bothering me about this whole mission that he's sending me on is that I don't have any numbers associated with it. Like, if he told me for a year, then I could suck it up and go. But the truth is I know God well enough, and I could go out and knock doors for one day and it would be okay, or I could have to go out and knock doors for the next 10 years and it still not be enough. Does that make sense? And okay, that's the part that's bothering me, is because I don't have a time. He's not giving me a time.
I know roughly every, let's just say, what, if you knocked every day in a week, how many times would you pray for somebody, Angela? Roughly.
Probably once a day, maybe more.
Okay, let's just go once a day. Okay. So if you knock doors 5 days a week, once a day, all right, you're looking at what? I'm not real quick on the math, but, you know, so 5 times 4 is 20. 20 times 12 is...
God's told me to knock on 100 doors a day, by the way.
Oh, 100 doors a day.
Yeah.
Okay.
20 times 12 is 240, by the way.
And you had the opportunity. If you had the opportunity to pray one person into salvation every day.
Oh, Lord. I mean, come on.
Would you go do it?
I wouldn't even care about selling roofs at that point. Yeah, of course.
You? Okay. Then do it.
Let's go knock doors out.
Make that the purpose. Hey, make that the purpose that you're going after.
I know. That's
make
what I say.
That the purpose.
If I could switch it from my business, like
then
my
mentally
business to this,
do that.
Yeah.
And the business is just a byproduct of it.
Yeah, I'll get a sell every now and then. That, you know, that'd be
I mean,
nice.
Come on,
little,
man.
Yeah.
I go mow lawns. I know your roofing's hard, but I go mow lawns at 150 degrees too.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not 150, but there is some triple digits there. So it, you, I'm old and we exaggerate.
Do you realize
right?
It's probably
but
literally
I get
150?
The opportunity. I get the opportunity to share every time I go.
Yeah. I if it was, like if I was knocking doors for the ministry or something, it would be a lot easier than the company. And
make
I guess
it
I could.
About the ministry, which God gave you that ministry, and he named it after a ministry item so that it would grab attention, and you're ignoring the pulpit that he's given you.
Yeah, I don't like the way you say pulpit.
Okay, we got to move on. We got 5 minutes.
Yeah. I don't like the way you say it, but he says pulpit.
Pulpit.
I don't like that.
Pulpit.
All right.
What do you call it?
Pulpit.
Okay, what was the question of the... Are we doing
that's
that?
A difference.
I don't think we're not going to have time today. Yeah, sure. We'll do it next week. Did a listener submit one?
No.
Okay, we're good then. I wanted to answer it if it was a listener, because we're running a little behind, so we got to get to the guest today. So anybody else have anything to say before the guest?
You're doing a great job.
Oh, get out of here, bro. You guys just say that whenever I say it. You know, it makes me sick. Anyway.
I think there's, you know, I go to that Walmart. Or I go to Walmart, and every time it says rate the experience, and I always hit 3.
Wow.
And my wife goes, why do you hit 3 every time? I said, because there's always room for improvement.
There you go.
Are you going to give me a 4 at least? Are you going to give me 4 stars, Larry? If Walmart gets a 3, I better at least get a 4 for the love of, come on, man. All right. Today we're going to be talking to Nikki. She calls herself an agnostic pagan witch. And like always, we will not attempt to explain that. We're going to let Nikki do that. So let's get to her. Nikki. Do I sound like Casey Kasem when I say it?
Sometimes.
Hello?
Nikki.
Hi.
Zach from Help My Unbelief. How are you doing?
Hi. Good. It's good to talk to you. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for asking. So I'm going to just jump right into it. Hold on a second.
Sounds good.
Well, I got to get my paper. Hold on. Where's my paper?
Yeah, I was just like catching up on some old podcasts. So I've been watching you guys.
Oh, have you really?
Yeah. I was just watching Scarlett, and I was watching Regina.
Oh,
and Chris,
yeah.
And it's really interesting. I appreciate you inviting me.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Well, I ask that question every week, so now I don't have to ask you that. Where's the mission statement at? Is it just gone? Hey, let's pull up the Spotify, because I wrote it on the Spotify. That's what we'll do. Larry, do you have Spotify on your historic phone?
That's who I listen to. It.
Okay.
He's calling my 11 a historic phone.
It's an iPhone 11.
What's the most current one?
15. I wouldn't even know.
Okay. Nikki, hold on a second.
Well,
I'm
I went
so
from
sorry,
the, I went
Nikki.
From 7 to the 11, so yeah, I got to wait till the 18 comes out before I change this one. Hi, Nikki. This is Larry. He's busy, and I'm going to say hi to you.
Hi, Larry. It's good to meet you.
Okay.
Good to meet you.
All right. I'm ready. Okay, Nikki. So let me explain how the show goes a little bit, and that way you'll understand it, and then I'll let you know the ground rules. There are none. We're the backwoods of... No, I'm kidding. But so this is the Help My Unbelief podcast. Thank you for coming on, first of all. This is a podcast that's literally... created for you, someone that doesn't believe in the same thing as us. And we actually wrote a mission statement, and I'm going to read that to you real quick. Our mission for this conversation today is to provide you with an environment that's safe from judgment or ridicule without allowing the belittling of God, having the ultimate intent of representing Christ to the unbeliever. And so I know you're a believer of some sort, but when we say unbeliever, that just means kind of like the word pagan. It just means everything but Christian, essentially.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our intent is not to debate with you today. It's just to hear your story. You've been listening to it. You see how we are. I have no interest in debating. It's not in my nature at
all.
Neither
do I. Yeah, I don't like to argue.
It makes me sick. Coco, before he was a believer, he would tell you too that it's just, even in private, I'm just like, not doing this, bud. Can't do it. It's just, it makes me feel gross. I don't know why. I guess that's just the way we could say God made me that way. So
yeah, I understand. It makes me feel gross too. I get it.
Good. Okay. And so let's go around this. So what we'll do is we'll talk just for, I don't know, the next 40 minutes, an hour, something like that. We'll get your story. And then at the end of the show, we're going to do something called the rounds. Okay. That's where everybody in this room will get to say something in parting to you. Mm-hmm. And then because you're our guest, you're going to get the final say.
All right, nice.
Okay, I'm going to go around the room and introduce everybody to you so you won't hear any strange voices, but we've got our creative director, Coco, in the room today.
Hello, Nikki.
Hello, Coco. That's actually my husband's old nickname growing up, Coco.
Oh,
that's cool. That's a nickname I got from my stepson as well. My name's Kyle, and he couldn't pronounce my name, so I ended up with Coco.
Oh, that's cute, though.
So Coco's going
to
work.
All right, nice to meet you.
Coco's going to work really hard on talking directly into the mic and projecting his voice today.
You want me to try again? Is that better?
No, I like that. That sounds good.
That's
okay.
Much better than what you normally do, because I'm usually, when I listen to the podcast, I'm going, what's he saying?
So you see how you projected your voice and you talk like a boy. I mean, talk like a man, not a boy. You know what I mean?
Yep.
All right. I got my lovely wife, Angela, in studio.
Hello.
Hi, Angela.
And she's the director. She's the one that's mean to us behind the scenes when we mess up.
So, she's the boss. She's always right. She knows what's happening.
She's kind of the boss, yeah.
Yeah, if she's not throwing something, she's throwing glances.
Yeah, and it gets bad. And then I have my longtime and favorite co-host, Larry.
How are you doing, Nikki?
Hi, Larry. I'm doing good, thank you.
It's kind of like I tell my daughters.
I'm very happy to be here.
It's kind of like I tell my daughters. My daughters will be like, Dad, am I your favorite? And I'll say, you're my favorite 11-year-old daughter. But I'm your only 11. Exactly.
I got a favorite redheaded daughter.
That's a good way to say it.
Yeah, I got my favorite redheaded daughter. She always reminds me she's the only redheaded daughter.
Yeah.
Granddaughter. I'm sorry.
Oh, you remember back in the beginning when we started this show, how we used to have like redhead jokes?
All the time. All the time.
You really made some redheads mad with that.
I didn't intend to make them upset. I had two redheaded ex-wives.
Oh, yeah.
I have almost half my aunts were somewhat redheaded.
And then we had our first witch on.
Grandma redheaded, and then Jess was redheaded.
Yeah, we had our first witch on, and she was redheaded.
She gave me a hard time about being.
Woo!
Yeah. I wasn't even insulting about it.
You're not redheaded?
My dad is. My mom is Mexican, so I'm half Mexican. So my hair is kind of brown, but with the little red tint. But my dad is redheaded. Yeah.
So let me quickly ask you a question. Do you have any children?
No, I don't. I wish I did. But see, I did. Not yet. We'll see.
My grandma was redheaded. My mom had a little red tint to her hair. I have a little bit in right sun. You can see just a little bit of a red glint in mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so I married redheads thinking I was going to get redheaded daughters. I did not.
Right.
They all have my hair color. And then I got a redheaded granddaughter out of the mix. So it's like, wow. You know, I tried pretty hard.
Are you getting gray hair, by the way?
I've been getting gray hair.
Why? The lighting just shows it a little better. I don't know.
Jeez. I've got gray.
Like, stop pointing it out.
Oh, no, I don't worry about it. I'm 61. How old are you?
Oh, I am 37. I'll be 38 in August.
All right. August? Mm-hmm. Really?
August what? Tell me.
No, I'm not going to say what day. Can I do that?
31st.
Oh, yeah, you're at the end.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm a year. I guess I'm a year and 31, 30, 29, 28, 76, 5, 30, a year and 24 days older than you.
Wow. Oh, that's not bad. Okay, so you were born about 85.
85, August 7th. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're August 7th, and I'm August 4th. But I was born in 62.
Oh, a lot of August people. Awesome. Yeah.
So you are 55 years and 3 days older than me. 55 years and 3 days older than me.
Larry, you share a birthday with my middle son.
Do I?
You share a birthday with my middle son.
Really?
He's August 4th as well.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
Larry's not really 80. I was joking. He's 60-something. Yeah,
no. I was born in 62.
62? Jeez, man.
62. That's before we put man on the moon.
That's the Civil War, right?
That was 1862. Oh. You moron.
Sorry.
I actually thought that through there, too.
All right. Well, I need to get to Nikki. You keep giving me these jokes.
Yeah, but. I keep feeding him the ammunition, Nikki. I apologize.
Oh, it's okay. It's y'all's house.
What part of the country are you from, hon?
I'm from Florida.
Oh,
down
wow.
south, yeah.
Okay.
So I want to talk first about your title, because you're the first of this kind that we've had on before. And I mean, I don't want to say that I'm confused by the title, but you say mm-hmm. you're an agnostic pagan witch. So yeah. like, mm-hmm. do you practice witchcraft? Or just explain to me what that is, and then I'll ask the question.
Yeah. Well, first of all, agnostic, you know, I anything could be possible. I don't know what's going on. I'm just kind of living, you know, I feel like whatever, you know, people really believe, then that's okay. You know, I don't know what's real, you know? So, with that being said, I am pagan, so I'm not, you know, Christian. And I practice witchcraft. So, yeah.
Okay. So do you have strong convictions about your beliefs, at least in witchcrafts and stuff like that? Would you say they're fairly strong, like you're fairly certain, or you're just kind of?
Yeah, I'm pretty certain. But at the same time, you know, I'm still human, you know, so I don't know all, but yeah, I've seen and heard and experienced a lot of things. And so I've been practicing since I was 13. So I feel like, if something were to kind of stray me, it would have already, I guess. So I am pretty strong in what I believe. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm sorry. Wow. I did that hardcore, didn't I? I read your bio on that, and mm-hmm. can I ask a question?
Of course.
Why? I mean, I read that your dad was Baptist, and since he's redheaded, mm-hmm. I'm supposing he's Irish. Okay.
Yeah.
And your absolutely. Mother was Catholic. Mm-hmm. Was that practicing or non-practicing?
Very loose, I guess. Like she never really went to church or anything. Like I said, my mom is Mexican. And so that part of the culture is very Catholic. But they never really went to church or anything. But, you know, I did have crosses in my house. I had, you know, the Virgin Mary in my house mm-hmm. and, you know, it was taught loosely. But they were always very open to what I wanted and what I believed. You know, it was never really pushy, but it was still present, if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, that's one of the things that I was kind of questioning because, you know, you said that they let you choose what you wanted to believe mm-hmm. in. And I also had a Mexican descent wife. And mm-hmm. I know that they lean toward the spiritual end of it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like Catholicism?
Well, not really. She really didn't do the Catholic thing, but, you know, they talk about the evil eye. They talk about the Day of the Dead. They talk about all that stuff.
Hold on. What's the evil eye?
The evil eye, if you looked at it, and... Wow. Okay. If I looked at your watch and said that's a really nice watch, then I just gave that the evil eye, and that watch needs you would give me that watch because it would be cursed from that point on. That's literally how I got this watch just now. Really?
Yeah, because I told Larry I liked the watch and he gave it to me.
Yeah, I was learned a little different, but I can understand that part because I had heard that definition of it. The evil eye, the way I was taught, is that if, let's say, somebody really doesn't like you, let's say randomly, somebody cuts you off in traffic or something, and you see them, you know, giving you, or you cut somebody else off in traffic, and they, you know, kind of look at you with like a disgust, evil look, and they, you know, are really mad at you and have very intense emotions towards you, then they kind of gave you the evil eye that way.
So I'd call that the hard eye.
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be the hard eye where you, too. Just from the look, you know what I'm thinking.
Larry does that daily to people, probably.
Yeah.
That's his weakness right now.
Yeah, his driving thing.
I hate to say it, Nikki, the Lord still hadn't worked out road rage out of my boy over here.
Yeah. I still battle. That's one of the battling things, considering that I anger was my drug of choice. So, and then I'm a driver. So, you know, combine the two, it doesn't go well. But my why in that question is, what led you to witchcraft? Since your parents, neither one came from that point of view, what led you to witchcraft?
Yeah, it's a good question. So like I said, I started practicing around 13. I've just always felt like, this sounds dumb and probably is kind of dumb, but you know, when you're little, you watch Disney movies and you pretend, and you know, you watch, well, me, I'll say me. I watched, you know, a lot of witchy stuff and movies, and I was always a witch for Halloween, and you know, it felt right, and I would kind of see things or practice things before 13. I would kind of, you know, take little moments from these things I would see, because you know, growing up in the 80s, you watch a lot of television, and I would kind of apply certain things to my life. For example, you know, I live in Florida. We go to the beach a lot. And I would, you know, practice kind of moving the wind, you know, at my will, or, you know, the waves at my will. And little things, so young. And it just, I just felt like it was me. I felt like it was, you know, it was right for me. And when I started practicing at 13, I would try to find books on actual witchcraft, because I knew it was fiction what I was watching by then. So I was trying to understand what real witchcraft was and what people actually do, you know. And it was hard finding resources back then. This was in what, early 90s, mid 90s, I think, actually, when I was 13. And you know, I guess I did, you know, I was a Christian back then, like before I started practicing witchcraft. You know, because I did believe in Jesus and God, and I did pray and stuff. And some things did happen, some trauma did happen in my childhood, and I found myself praying, you know, to God that it would stop. And it didn't. And then when I started practicing, I would do spells and stuff. And I found that it stopped. And I felt like, instead of God kind of helping me that point, I was helping myself. And I kind of learned from that point, I don't really need to ask him for anything. I can do it myself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It does. That. One of the reasons that I asked that question is because, like, my wife at that time, the one that I spoke about, was big on watching movies like the, you know, Charmed. She always tried to push the Harry Potter thing on me. I never watched Harry Potter once. Charmed, I didn't really have a choice. But, you know, I grew up in the era where Bewitched was, first put on the TV.
True. Yeah.
And so I wondered if perhaps that way. And now you see so much witchcraft in Disney movies and shows like that. So I was curious. That was when the question came up immediately in my head.
I think a lot of people have that experience, especially on this show, is where someone has dealt with something. And if you go back all the way to watch Pagan Witch Jess, she went into detail what she went through, and I'm not going to ask you to do that. We have that week after week where people come on here. And if you don't feel comfortable sharing what happened, then I'm not going to ask you to do that. But, I don't know. And I wish I had the answer of that question of why doesn't God always intervene, in things like that.
And it's not like I hated God for it. I didn't. you know, and I still don't really. I just found that what I was doing then didn't work for me. And it hasn't really worked for me since, as far as, you know, praying for a God. I don't worship any God, really. I think it's more of like a relationship, a give and take in a way. And I just think that was the point of where I found my own power.
What if Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life? He proclaims that he's the actual truth, his teachings, Christianity, if you want to call it. Sometimes that word is kind of skewed with the examples of today. But he claims to be the truth. Like, he's the whole truth. He's everything that is true. And he says he's the only way to get to the Father, essentially. Do you ever, does that ever concern you that that may be the truth? And do you ever find yourself, man, maybe I should look into this a little harder?
Probably when I was younger. I would say, like, in high school, I was still kind of practicing, but at the same time, we had a get together at high school. I can't remember what it's called, but when everybody would go to the gym and they would, you know, put sermons on and pray, it was kind of like a church in high school. And I would go there, and I did get saved, and I did, you know, kind of question it for a while, you know, and I just came to believe that I don't believe that now, to be honest. I don't think there's one truth. I don't think there's one God. I personally don't believe that.
You don't believe in an absolute truth, that there is something that's true no matter what you believe, no matter what I believe. You don't believe there's something that's true?
Well, see, I am agnostic, so it is a possibility, you know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think there's multiple truths. I don't think there's just one, you know? Yeah.
See, me personally, I've thought about that, and, like, I don't know. I guess my own personal will wants there to be multiple truths, because then life would be easier, you know? Like,
maybe that's it, yeah.
Sometimes things get skewed for me because I'm like, man, this sucks. This is hard. And, you know, I'm presented with an option of a left turn or a right turn, if that makes sense. And I know I have to turn right, but I know left will be so much easier. And
that's true, yeah.
So my mind starts making up all this crap to make left seem, I'm not saying what you believe is crap, but what I'm saying, this is what literally happens to me. It happens to me on a weekly basis, still today.
Yeah. I understand.
Especially in ministry, I'm presented with a lot of lefts. I know I should turn right. And my mind starts making up a bunch of things to make the left turn seem more justified and real. And I don't know. It's just, and I can see that happening in real time. Does that make sense? Like, I'm like, I'm trying to make this to where I know what I need to do. We were just talking about this before the show started. Like, I know what I need to do, but I'm trying to come up with all these excuses for me not to do it because it's hard. I don't want to do it. I hate it.
You're afraid of failure.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, fear is the basis of all that stuff. So,
yeah, I have a pretty, good fear, or I wouldn't even say healthy dose of fear, but I do fear failure a lot. Yeah. So I get that.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think I've always been that way. Maybe it's something in childhood I haven't unpacked yet.
Yeah.
But I've always kind of feared failure to the point where it made me not want to do anything.
Yeah.
You know?
I've been realizing that in the last month or so, that there's a lot from my childhood that I haven't unpacked. And I wish we could just keep it packed up, you know?
Yeah, but I agree. And that's probably, I've been in recovery for 6 years, actually.
Nice.
And I think that's one of the reasons why I was stuck in my addiction so much, is because of fear of failure and not moving forward and not, you know, being afraid of change, I guess.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's a big one for me too. But I don't know. It's just, life's hard, you know, and especially at our age, we're the same age, and especially at our age, life gets hard. And especially what I've learned too, is especially walking with God and being a Christian is extremely difficult. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. And that's why I believe it's true personally, is not because of, you know, everybody has these crazy testimonies where they said, I was at church and a preacher gave this testimony, and I went down to the altar and I gave my heart to the Lord, and I felt this rush of wind come over me, and I just felt like I had wings. You know, you get what I'm saying. They, you hear all these testimonies.
Why do you always sound like a Southern Baptist preacher when you say it?
I don't know. I love the voice.
She was thinking the same thing.
You know, and whenever I'm saying that too, I see like the graphics of like an eagle, like flapping its wings in the distance, you know, like people telling their testimony. But that wasn't my experience. And I always thought like I had done something wrong because I didn't get those feelings and those crazy emotions and stuff like that. But the truth is, whenever I decided to follow God and become a sold out Christian, I watched the world shift around me. Kind of like how you said you watched how you controlled the waves, how you controlled the wind. I watched the spiritual world switch around me. Something didn't like the fact that I did that. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Something did not like that. I was changing and getting on. And that's why I was like, oh, I'm for the first time, I'm receiving what I like to call spiritual opposition. Does that make sense? And I felt opposed before. Whatever this was okay with whatever life I was living with, and now it's not. And I was like, oh, this is real. And I think Coco can probably say that he's experienced that as well. He was a 100% atheist about a month ago. I mean, less than a month ago.
It was kind of on the fence, but yeah. Really kind of solidified the decision a couple weeks ago. But
yeah,
there was.
Yeah, but
I'd say 2-3 months ago,
you were a sold out atheist. Yeah.
And then kind of started.
He was an atheist content creator.
Gotcha.
And that he would say the same thing happened to him. That you experienced some stuff like a switch in the spiritual world.
The last couple of weeks has been rough. It was like what you were saying hits the nail on the head. Like something does not want me to be a Christian. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I think I got a pretty good idea of what it is, but, yeah, there was definitely some confirmation that something doesn't want me doing what I'm doing now.
It's weird, huh?
It is.
And what about you, Nikki? Do you have like spiritual guides and stuff like that you work with now?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I usually work with, my spirit guides and ancestors a lot, you know, because I am half Mexican, and the Mexican culture is very much a ancestor veneration people, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, the answer is yes.
Okay. And do you practice dark magic, light magic, or like we've had a bunch of different witches that say they, you know, don't only practice dark, only white. We had a death witch on before.
Oh, fun.
What kind of witchcraft do you say you practice?
I'm mostly practicing it's kind of hard to pinpoint what I practice because I'm kind of like a melting pot, you know, from how I grew up in my family. But I kind of just do what feels right to me. And a lot of the Mexican tradition feels right to me. Like, I do a lot of, you know, I don't think that magic is light or dark. If we look at history, those terms are very rooted in, racism. I think magic is magic, and it's how you use it really dictates where that energy goes.
Intention behind it?
Right. Yeah. And the tools about what you use and, you know, your goal at the end of the day, you know, what you're using your witchcraft for. But yes, I have used witchcraft banefully, but not much. I like to think of it as if I and defending myself, first of all, I will do it. Or if, you know, somebody comes at me and like, you know, I say that if I would punch somebody in real life, then I'll probably put a spell on them basically. But, and I would never punch somebody in real life. So it's very rare.
Gotcha.
That I would throw, you know, magic at somebody. Let's put it that way. You know what I mean?
So you believe there's, like good spirits and bad spirits. You believe there's both?
I do, yeah. I definitely think there's a good and evil aspect in things, yeah.
Okay. What if you found out that magic is only using dark spirits with sinister intentions behind their plan? What would you think then?
Yeah, I don't think I would ever find that out. But if I did, then I would explore that more. And if it's truly evil that's manipulating me and my magic, then yeah, I would stop. I would. I wouldn't do it anymore.
Let me ask you, what makes you think you would never find that out? That there was only bad or only good spirits? What makes you think that?
Well, honestly, just because it's kind of an arrogance in a way, only because I've practiced for so long, I feel like I never stop learning, first of all. Don't care what age you are, you're never going to stop learning. But at the same time, I do kind of feel like if that was real, or, you know, if all magic is just evil, then I would have known by now. You know, the things I've done, the things I've experienced, doesn't match up with it. Does that make sense?
Can I give you, this isn't advice. Okay. This is like, mm-hmm. Larry gives me some father moments, just one before this show.
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you something. And it's like, it scares me. What you said, it scares me. And more than like, I'm going to be clear. I want you to be a Christian. Okay. I want that more than anything for you. And I hope you get to know Christ someday, but by me telling you this, that's not my intention. You said something that worries me, and I want to warn you about it. That's all I'm going to do. Okay. Me and Angela, about a year ago, we met a friend online who we thought was a friend. And this guy, he called himself Bishop. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he would always say prayers out loud, and he would call himself, he would call God Papa. He would change his name to Papa. And he said that a lot. And I found it weird at the time, but I didn't think of anything of it because I'm just, you know, I'm just an idiot most of the time. I'm just trust everybody. And I just met this guy, but he said, I call God Papa. Don't worry about it. And he called God Papa, and he kept calling him Papa. And anyway, one day this guy called me and Angela privately, and we were dealing with some issues, and we allowed him to like basically say a prayer. He was acting like he was a Christian. Is what it was. And truly what he was a bishop in the voodoo world. And voodoo people use someone called Papa Legba. And he got me and Angela to repeat a prayer after him. And we essentially, what we did was we invited some things that we weren't really intending on coming into our home and our life at that time. And it took us some ways to get that out. We even had someone come up to us and tell us that there was a green snake inside of our ministry trying to take it out. He was trying to get into our ministry. And it was this guy. And, you know, kind of prophesized it in our life. And so that was a real scary moment for us. And it really changed our view of who we allow pray for us, who we listen to, who we give our time and energy to and stuff like that. And we're just very, very careful about what we do in the spiritual world. And that's why I say, like, if you're practicing witchcraft and you're inviting spirits in your house and you're saying you don't know if they're good or bad, like, you need to know. You need to.
No, I didn't mean that I didn't know if they're good or bad. I kind of meant that an overall, like, if all, maybe I misunderstood your question. If I'm inviting spirits in my house, I'm protected. I know exactly who and what I'm inviting. I meant like an overall entity of like, is everything evil? You know, that I'm doing.
Can you tell me? Can you tell me what you do to make sure that you know they're good?
Yeah. Well, a couple of things you could do is, first of all, cleanse your space. And I like to ask my ancestors and spirit guides, you know, give me, and I worked at this a lot, you know, shielding and circle making is very intricate art. It's very, you know, practice to make it stronger and stronger. I asked my ancestors and spirit guides to, you know, make a circle, and I give the instructions and everything. And the way you can tell if a spirit is not genuine is how they respond to certain questions. And you can feel it. You know, if you're very sensitive of spirits and energy, you can feel if somebody's being deceptive or something is being deceptive.
And you can speak to these things and ask them questions and stuff like that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't speak directly to them. Like, they're not talking to me, like in English or anything, but I use tools. Like, I can use a spirit board or a pendulum or, you know, different tools to receive the yes or no or receive the messages. Yeah.
Do you not ever get concerned? Because here's my thing, right? Because I know I can tell you're a smart girl. Okay. And I call myself dumb all the time, but I'm pretty, I'm pretty aware of the way things, of the way things are going. Like when people are talking to me, I can usually tell their intentions behind why they're asking and stuff like that. And I'm pretty self-aware and stuff like that. But the spiritual world, that's a little different, man. Like I know I need Jesus to protect me. I need the Holy Spirit to protect me because I know me personally, I'm a human. I have a spirit, but I'm not keenly aware of, like, I'm in a world, in a human world, right? I'm not navigating myself in the spiritual world. Like, I know I need the Holy Spirit to protect me. I know I cannot do it myself, you know, because I know, like, Satan, for example, let's just entertain me on the idea of Satan for a second. Like, if just go with me on a mental exercise here. If you don't believe in Satan, that he's real, just go along with me for a second, okay? Like, let's say Satan's real and he's a real thing, then Satan's been alive or for a really long time. I mean, a long, long time. And he's probably, he's probably a pretty smart. Well, however long, right? Like, there's people that believe that the earth's millions of years old, and he might be millions of years old. He might be 1,000 years old. He may be 6,000. Who knows how old he is? But he's way older than what we are, and he has a lot of experience in the spiritual world and stuff like that. And the Bible describes him as cunning, that he's smart, he's beautiful, that he disguises himself like he's an angel of light, that he's able to do this. He's able to switch back and forth. He's able to portray himself as a good spirit, right? And I've been tricked by Satan many a time, and it feels like I should have got it those times, but if Satan's able to do that, then his followers dang sure are too. So does it never concern you that you could be getting deceived or tricked or duped? And I know it's hard to admit that, like whenever we're going through situations like that, but like, does that not ever concern you?
Oh, I completely understand what you mean. It used to when I started out. But that's kind of where you and me differ a little bit. Because you said how, you know, you need Jesus to protect you and, you know, to do all this stuff for you. Not all this stuff, but protect you, you know, from evil and stuff. That's kind of how I feel with my spirit guides and my ancestors. Like, I trust them to filter out what I don't want in this circle. You know what I mean? And filter out the truth in things. So I trust them that they will give me the messages that are true. And the thing about me is I don't worship anybody is the thing. And it might sound a little arrogant, and that's fine, I guess. I'm not really an arrogant person, but I guess when it comes to spirituality, I am a little bit. I don't feel like a God is above me spiritually. Like, from human to God, sure. But as my spirit, I really don't think that there's any spirit that's really above another spirit. And so that's why I don't really worship God. I think it's a relationship. So if I work with Isis, I work with Isis a lot. I really like Egyptian.
Hold on, say
magic.
That again. You work with
Isis.
Isis.
Yes, Isis, the winged mother, the mother of witches, of babies, of nurturing. She's a goddess. She's an Egyptian goddess.
I was like, you're not talking about like
the terrorist
organization.
No.
Or,
oh, no,
okay.
No. All right. No, she's an Egyptian goddess.
You know, when you say I work with Isis, you have to kind of clarify that. You know that, right?
That's true. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I did not even think about it, but you're so right. You're so right.
I'm just making sure, like, we're on the same page here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I did not even think about that.
We just got flagged.
Yeah, we're getting flagged on this one, boys. But oh well, run
it. Leave it out if you have to.
You might put some editing notes down on that one.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
But when I say I work with them, it's not that I worship them. It's that, you know, we work together. We have a relationship, you know. If I have a issue or something that I, you know, pray to Isis about that I would like her to help me with, I give an offering and for her, you know, give her time back. Like, it's a give and take. I don't worship. And I think that's where kind of me and you differ a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, we would differ big time there, but like,
yeah,
let me ask you a question though.
I feel like spiritually, if I were to go toe to toe with God, I'd probably lose in all realness, but I would try. And I believe that I could, if I had to defend myself, if that makes sense. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What if he's, what I'm going to ask you this question. I want you to really think about this.
Mm-hmm.
What if God is worthy of worship? What if that's true?
He might be. You know, I mean,
that's the question here, right? That's the question here. That's the real question is, I mean, let me ask you, if he was worthy of worship, would you do it?
I don't know. I'd have to really think about it.
It's a tough one, is it? That one's a tough one. Yeah.
Because I've never really, well, except for when I was young and I would, you know, ask for help and it didn't come. I never really worshipped anything.
I can see why you'd be mad. I can see why you'd be mad about that.
Well, yeah, I'm not really mad. I'm going to be honest. I'm not really mad. It was just like
you were let down. You felt like he let you down.
A little bit, yeah. But I'm not mad about it. I'm glad that I came to my own power. I am glad about that. But it's hard because I don't know how to explain it, you know?
Did you tell anybody about like what happened?
Nobody in my family. No. Like I your told friends? A couple of friends. Yeah. And my husband knows, but no. See, I came from a Mexican family where we didn't speak about things.
Yeah.
You know, if something 100%. Happened, we had to shove it down.
Yeah.
You know, because it could ruin the whole family. You know, and it would have been, and that's one of the things, and it was a family member. And it's one of those things to where they let me know that it would ruin the family. And they were right. It would have, you know, and I'm responsible for that.
So you're happy you didn't tell anybody? Like you felt like that was the right call.
For my family. For my family, yeah.
Man.
That's tough. Sounds terrible because that's a lot on me, you know.
Yeah, you did. You took that all on you.
But, I have to. I just have to.
I can. You know? I feel for you on that, but I can also relate. My mom.
Yeah.
My mom did the same thing. She was abused by a family member and kept it under wraps because my grandpa would have killed him.
Yeah, and yeah. I was about to say, you know, if I told my father would be in prison for life. Then, yeah. You know, this is to dads out there, just a little bit of advice. And I understand the sentiment of if anybody hurts my daughter, I'll kill them or whatever. I get it. But if you really want your daughter or your son or anybody to really want to talk to you and connect to you, don't say stuff like that because they remember that and they will hold it in just so you don't go to prison and get in trouble for doing something stupid like that. You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
They feel like they are protecting you.
Yeah. Exactly.
I told my daughters that the other day. Like, it's crazy you bring that up, Nikki, because I told my daughter that literally on Sunday night when we picked them up. I don't know how we got on the subject, but. Oh, yeah. Because I kind of talked about, like, I had been through some similar stuff like that when I was littler. I'm not really ready to talk about it on here, but I've been through some similar stuff. And that my daughters brought that up that, like, you know, you'd kill him, Dad. And I'm like, no, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, no, I wouldn't. I was like, you need me here. You need me to be your dad. I think I'd want to, you know. And not to say, you know, the old detective in me wouldn't find a way to get a note to somebody inside that prison of what that guy had done. You know, I got the connection still, buddy, you know, but as far as,
hey, that's fair.
You know, as far as me, like, you know,
well, as a Christian, Christ says, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like, you know, I wouldn't. And so it's crazy you say that, because I brought that up the other day. And I don't know, like, like you say, you know.
No, I was just going to say, you got to be careful sometimes with what you say to your kids. You're right. You know.
Because you choked it for that long. And that's just, it hurts my heart, man, because I wish I could just be everyone's dad or be there for everyone. Yeah. Like, because I know.
And my dad's a great person. It's just, I know his anger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If somebody hurt me.
Man.
He doesn't care who it is.
He loved you,
yeah. And I don't want that. Yeah.
Especially Hispanics, man. They would literally kill you. Literally.
Yeah, well, he's the Irish one. It's just as bad. Yeah.
Her mom was.
Irish, just as bad. Yeah. They'll kill you and then party afterwards. Yeah.
Yeah. And then my Mexican family is going to do the same thing. So it's, you know, I just couldn't.
I think it's fair to say that, like, you know, you try to say that you don't blame God for that, or you're not mad at him, but like, it's really hard to say that you don't blame God for that. It's hard to say that. Like,
yeah. And, I'm going to be completely honest. I really don't, like, I don't feel that in my heart. And I, you know, maybe it could be a little, you know, subconsciously, maybe, I don't know. But as far as now and what I'm feeling now, I can say I'm not mad at him. I'm really not.
That's what I'm saying, subconscious, because I believe you when you say that. I know you're not just saying that just so I'll leave you alone about it. But like, I know, because I do things like that too, like where I say, well, I'm not mad at God, but, you know, and then, like, you're just like, you wanted him to come through. You probably heard all this stuff in church about how God does all these miracles and stuff. And then why didn't he do it for you? Like, I'm dealing with something like that right now. With that, where I hear about all these people getting delivered from this, delivered from that, and then I'm not. And then, but the problem is, that's what I was telling Coco, is for a long time I've been able to play the victim for a while, and God's given me a way out, and I just haven't taken it. But besides that, we all know you didn't deserve that. And I believe God knows you didn't deserve that too. But it says that God uses things for good, and that makes me sick to my stomach to say that too. But I, like, Angela's her children have been molested. She went through a crazy, there's been a lot of stuff she's been through. She was molested whenever she was a kid by her grandfather, and she believes that God's going to uses those things. She's been able to witness to so many young women here at church. Because they're going through stuff like that, or their kids have went through stuff like that. She's been able to share her testimony and pray for people and tell people how she was able to finally let that go, you know, because of that. So God does use things like that. But I don't think God intended for that to happen either. I really don't. God does not create situations like that.
I get that. And I think the situation does raise a lot of questions, you know, I guess, about, you know, what he does intervene with and what he doesn't and why. And, you know, we'll never have these answers.
Right.
But, I understand what you mean. Yeah.
Okay, we're going
to. But I do have to, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead,
but
please.
I do have to say that, you know, I'm very thankful that I did find witchcraft, because it did help me cope with everything, you know, and help me gain a power I didn't have then. And it taught me a lot. Let's just put it that way. It taught me a lot.
Okay. All right. Let's do the rounds now.
All right.
And so you know what those are. Explain them. Coco goes first, right?
Yeah,
go ahead.
We'll do that. Nikki, excuse me. I don't have much to add. I just wanted to thank you for coming on, sharing your story with us. And, I just appreciate you being here. Thank you.
Thank you, Coco. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Angela.
So I just wanted to kind of touch, 'cause you said that, you found the magic. Like, in my abuse, God didn't bring me out of it either. It's what I chose to do with it, you know, after the fact. So I feel like I feel like in the time of it, we have all these different things going through our head, because I mean, me and my older sister, we did plot to kill my grandfather at one point, you know, but we didn't go through it with it.
I understand that feeling. Yeah.
So I mean, there's other things, but then like through the grace of God, I didn't realize it at the time. He was working in my life. It wasn't his will to do that, but he was working in my life. I just didn't know. As a young kid, you don't know how to process it and how to take that on if you're not really talking to him daily and developing that relationship with him, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. Yeah.
So I just wish you the best. And I really like, I hope that you do in your own time, try to like call out to God again and like maybe he can, if you have a relation, like try to build a relationship with him as well, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I Thank appreciate you. It. Thank you.
Thanks,
Thank you
Andrew.
For having me.
Nikki, I hate because I can feel the tears coming up right now, but I'm not going to cry today, Zach. You hear me? I'm looking at you in the camera, Zach. Okay. You're not going to cry today. I hate when stuff
You're
like this.
You're allowed to cry. Man can cry.
Well, you can go back to all the old episodes and you can see that I cry like a baby sometimes, but I especially with stuff like this, because I hate it when I hear stories like this, because a human being has caused you to just experience pain that I don't feel like nobody should ever have to go through. And I hate that, man. I hate that. But I'm going to tell you something, and you know, God has told me to tell many guests things before, and I've always been disobedient because I've been afraid, but, God told me to tell you something, and I'm going to be obedient today, and tell you, and you can take it for leave it. You can think I'm crazy. You can think I have a mental disorder. But I want you to do this, and you don't ever have to tell me whether you did this or not. Okay. God told me, for you to ask him to, whenever you're alone and you're private, he wants you to say, show me that you're worthy of worship. But he wants you to say it. And you can say it in private whenever, and I don't ever have to know that you did it. Just say those words and you're going to see what the truth is. Other than
okay.
that.
Okay. You know what? I will do that. I will do that.
Okay. And thank you for coming on. I love you. I know we don't know each other, but I love you. And if I was around when any of that stuff happened, then I would have helped you. And I hope you know that. And if anything else happens, then I'm here for you. Just you can reach out to me anytime. You can get a hold of me directly at info@helpmyunbelief.org. And you can actually get a hold of anybody that you talk to today through that channel. I'll make sure you get a hold of them in some way. But I wish the best for you, sister. And remember, it's show me that you're worthy of worship. That's what I want you to ask him in private. Okay?
Thank you so much for having me. And you guys have been super nice. And I just want to applaud you guys for doing this and being so open-minded and sweet. And I think this is a perfect model that Christians need to see, to learn how to, you know, embrace people with differences, you know, because we're all special and we all are different.
You bet.
And I think you've done an amazing job doing this.
Thank you.
And
okay.
Thank you so much. And I love you guys too.
Larry's got one thing to say. Hold on. He always, okay. Hold on. Larry's got something to say. And then you got something to say at the end too. So hold on. Okay, Larry, go ahead.
Nikki, I certainly appreciate the conversation. We've gone over quite a bit, and as a dad to daughters, it's a very difficult thing when your daughters actually think that they're protecting you. You know, especially when, as you mentioned, your dad's Irish temper. I guess I had enough Irish in me that my temper was legendary. If you will. I do share a verse. Would that be okay?
Of course.
And I'm in Isaiah 44, verse 6 through 8. I use the NLT version, by the way. This is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord of heaven's armies. I am the first and the last. There is no other God. Who is like me? Let him step forward and prove to you his power. Let him do as I have done since ancient times. When I established a people and explained it its future. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim my purposes for you long ago? You were my witness. Is there any other God? No, there is no other rock, not one.
Isaiah?
Isaiah 44.
Oh, okay. That sounded familiar. Okay. Yeah.
God is our Redeemer and the rock on whom we should build our lives. He has made a promise to save us from our sins and the sure penalty of them, which is death. The wages of sin are death. When we have the promise of an all-powerful God, why look to any other source?
He's asking you.
Question she can contemplate.
Yeah. I was kind of caught up in it. He's got this tone that he like lulls you in with the reading, but then he asked a question at the end of it. It actually confused me too. And I was like, I'm confused. I think she's confused. Yeah. Oh, he asked a question.
That is a question for you to contemplate, Nikki. Just like
okay,
he
ask
asked
the question
you.
One more time.
I need the question too. I thought you were still reading.
Please.
Okay. Yeah. When we have the promise of the all powerful God, why look to any other source?
Gotcha.
So he's saying in that Bible verse contained a promise. And so that's what he wants you to contemplate is if there's a promise inside that Bible verse, then why would you look elsewhere inside that promise? Essentially, that's what he wants you to contemplate.
You know, the Bible tells us that our ways are not his ways and we don't understand anything. And throughout your whole conversation and with Zach's as well, I kept going back to my mind in Joseph. Joseph was, you know, one of the younger of the brothers. His brother sold him into slavery. He ends up being imprisoned for something that he didn't do. But his whole life was like 17 years of it was just totally bashing completely, you know, into slavery, into everything else. If you know the story, that's great. I just see how God lifted him up, and there's nowhere in there where he blamed God for what he was going through. And it is our character to turn away from or blame God when we are going through difficulties. But I always take solace from that. And, you know, just like with Job, he went through a lot of trouble, and yet he chose not to blame God. He questioned God. But he didn't blame God for it. And men are evil, and we are influenced by evil and manipulated by evil. I don't understand it all, but I keep my focus now, which I didn't in my past, but I've learned to keep my focus on Christ. And the rest of it is all just temporary. But I surely thank you for coming on, and I appreciate your time with us.
All right. Thank you, Larry. Okay. The floor is yours, Nikki.
All right. Well, basically I just said it already. Thank you so much for, you know, doing everything that you do. I've watched a couple episodes and read the comments. I think you're really making a difference. Thank you for having me on. And, it was so, so nice talking to you guys.
Hey, go back and check the episode with Jess. It was like,
it's a long time ago.
Jess is the sweetest. So. Thank you, Jess.
Yeah.
My favorite was episode 45 with Coco Med.
Oh, get out of here. That one out. Yeah, if you want to look, our director of whatever I call it. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking. Content director.
Yeah, creative.
He was on episode 45 speaking as an atheist, and he's on here as a Christian now. So.
Okay.
Just, hey, you know what?
That would be fun to watch.
Go back and listen to all of them. How about that?
Yeah, there's only 68
and then
eight of them.
Email me and tell me what you think throughout them. Listen, I'm always available to chat. So anytime.
Sounds good. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Take care, Nikki. And let me know. Let me know what happens after you pray for it. Because if I know God well enough, he told me to tell you something.
I sure will.
He'll come through. All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm getting emotional about that one.
I almost wish you would have said yours before I said mine, because that's basically what you did to me. You gave me a little prayer to pray, and I was like, all right, I'll humor him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
answered. That's what I did. That's what I did to Coco in private.
You know you can butt back in, right?
Well, yeah. I didn't really think about it until they were like hanging up, and I didn't want to butt in and be like, oh,
yeah, you can butt in.
It was kind of, he brought it back up.
Yeah.
And,
hold on. Yeah. I got one more thing to say.
Exactly. Yeah. So
I know
I could say it here.
I know how God works, and the reason why I'm so emotional is because I'm so thankful that he gave me that, because I don't have to worry about nothing now.
Mm-hmm.
If she really prays that, she's gonna see God's work unfold right before her eyes. Like, just like whenever I was talking to him, I said, "Would you entertain a prayer for me?" He said, "Yeah." And I said, "Go into your closet, wherever," and I said, "Ask God to ask for, and go in with a willing heart and say, what do you need me to do for you to see that you're real? What do you need me to do?" Like, God wants us to come to him as humble servants. And you could hear, and I don't want to say this like bad about her, but you can tell her she's kind of exalted herself above a God, you know. And the reason why she doesn't worship him is because she feels like herself, like she's done everything herself, you know. And so that's why with this, like, God is worthy of worship. That's why I worship him. Yes. I believe that God is worthy of it because he deserves it.
Whether he blesses us or not. Whether he blesses us or not, he's still worthy of worship.
And I've seen over throughout my life all the bad things and everything that's happened and how I've done everything to lean into the bad things and make them worse. I realized that God's always had my back through it all. And that he is worthy of worship. So I know that when she prays that, show me that you're worthy of worship, he'll show her.
Man, I got a really weird mental picture for you.
Okay.
All right. You know, at rodeos now, they got those great big old balloons that a person climbs inside of, and then they let a bull in the arena, and the bull runs up and hits them. And
oh, yeah, fly. Yeah, okay, yeah.
You
yeah,
know
yeah,
what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. That's God's protection, and the bull is Satan.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, he's not going to stop what's going to happen. Okay. I mean, he will if it's going to harm us.
Yeah.
But he's already protected us. And we do have to take responsibility for our actions, but I mean the accountability and the consequences are still going to come.
Yeah.
I mean, even though God may forgive me for killing an ex-wife, which I didn't.
Yeah, but okay. I was going to say, please, I don't know where this is coming from.
No.
Please elaborate
but
there.
If I was arrested and sent to jail and put on death row, then that would be the consequences of my actions that still have to be played out. You know what I mean? So just trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, Psalms 118:8, trust in the Lord, not man.
Oh, and that's why I was saying, like, that's the truth about Christianity. It wouldn't be hard if we all trusted God. If we just trusted him no matter what, then being a Christian would be a cakewalk, dude. There'd be nothing to it. And
well, the only reason it's not a cakewalk is because we keep kicking and screaming about what he tells us to do.
Even when we're in the bubble. You know, what's that part? I thought of something funny. When the bull comes and hits the bubble, and you know that part in that Ricky Bobby movie where he goes, "I'm flying through the air. This is not good."
They showed one the other day, and I could not believe this. That bull hit that. I mean, it didn't look like he hit it that hard, you know, but I mean, they go pretty high.
I was like 10, 15 feet.
This dude went from the middle of the arena to the seats. To the seats. And I'm thinking, they don't show, did he survive that? I mean, like,
hey, Chris,
did he survive it?
Chris, find this video he's talking about and plug it in the episode.
Oh, my goodness. It was
editor notes.
He was asking for little things he could add.
Yeah, editing notes right there. Hey, Chris, find the video of the bull that Larry's talking about knocking the guy in the stands and put it in this episode.
It was on the reels. I mean, it was on the reels. So if I come across it again, I'll send it to him.
But yeah,
it was
hilarious. Seriously, put that in the editing.
I watched it like four times because I could not believe that bubble went all the way into the stand.
Where are we at right now? How many minutes we got?
Oh, we got about 15 left in the show.
Okay. Do you want to do the
well, that's
pagan question?
I feel so happy right now because, like, God, God has given me stuff like that to tell people for, and I've always been scared, but I always felt like pushing a little bit with this one, you know what I mean? Pushing a little bit harder because she's, you could tell she's just got the wrong idea. You know what I mean? Like she's just,
well,
it sucks because, I don't know. It's just really cool. I know if she prays that, show me that you're worthy of worship, I know she's going to have some stuff happen.
I want to be quite careful with what I say. I don't want to sound demeaning in any form or fashion.
I know what you'd say.
But the principalities of darkness operate on manipulation.
Yeah.
And once you put yourself higher than God's, and I can't conceive that simply because I don't know how to make dirt. So I can't make a planet. I can't form people out of it.
I can't even make a fence.
Breathe life into them. Yeah, you can't make a fence. I can.
I know. That's what I'm saying. You can make a fence, and I can't even make a fence.
But I mean, thought you said a sentence.
Oh, well, yeah.
A lot funnier.
Well, he does have a
whole. That's true. I can't even form a sentence. Yeah.
But, I mean, for something created, I mean, just sorry, Lord. Take God out of the situation. And look at the planet. Look at how everything is intricately woven. That's a sign that there is a God. Period. You can't get this intricately woven. You can't just take the human body in itself and look at the DNA strand and go all the way through the genetics and how everything operates in itself. The electrical current that the human body creates in a thought process. See how I just did my hand? Well, I didn't even have to think about it because the electrical process of thought.
Things we take for granted, yeah.
The electrical process of thought. I mean, it's just.
And you know what? You know what made me even a thing that made me, you know, you remember that Widowmaker story that I told on Kevin's story?
Where his body grew around.
And it just shows how little control you have over your own body.
Yes.
Like, you have no control over your body where this, I don't know if I told you, but there's a Widowmaker artery that you have in there. And when guys have a heart attack, I have a buddy that he had this Widowmaker artery clog up. And on his way to the hospital, I don't know how long this was taken on or whatever, his body had made another artery and bypassed that clogged artery. Made another artery in his body.
So the blood could go around.
By the time he got to the hospital looked at him and said, hey, you had a Widowmaker heart attack. Like, almost 60% of men die on this, but your body made a new artery. You're good to go.
Yeah, it's
didn't give him no medicine or anything.
It's called collateral circulation. It's something that has been seen to happen. It doesn't happen very often, but in cases like that where, you know, the heart's starving for oxygen, it's incredible how it can do that. And the guy that I was talking to you about before the show, that's basically what got the gears turning for him too. He said he was kind of looking into some of the cosmological stuff, kind of looking into some physics, things like that. And he's just kind of getting to a point where he can't see the world without a designer or a creator. And this guy was, I think he called himself an anti-theist. So even one step above an atheist that was like,
I'm just going to jump to the end of the story. I know you haven't read the whole book yet, but the Christian God is the truth. Spoiler alert.
Wow, you did that to him. I can't believe you gave the spoiler alert, considering that there's like 5 billion copies of the Bible in print in several different languages.
Yeah. Well, and maybe he hasn't read to the end yet.
And all of them have the same ending.
And most people have like the Hobby Lobby sign that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. I don't know. But yeah, I'm so happy. I'm so happy about that. What's the...
By the way, Revelations 22:20. And 21, which are the last two verses.
Do we want to do a pagan question of the week?
Who is faithful to all these things, say, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's holy people.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
So we're at an hour and 35 minutes in recording, and it's 12 till 4. So I know we started late. We've got a little time if you guys want to stay late.
Yeah, let's do the pagan question of the week.
So this is the one I had last week, but we had a guest come up. It's not really a pagan question of the week. It was just something, honestly, I was kind of curious about.
Okay.
I think you should answer it.
Well, I can tell you what I'm doing first, but it's basically, you know, as a new believer, how do you read the Bible?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I've been told, I think you have both said the same thing, to start with John, which is great. And then, you know, after an hour of reading John, where do you go from there?
Oh, it only took you an hour.
Hour 15, maybe.
Yeah, good, my personal opinion, and I'll give you reasons behind it, okay?
There you go.
It's not that I don't think that the Old Testament is the divine word of God, because I do. And I'm telling you, when I read the Old Testament, that's when the spiritual world started acting up. Start acting crazy. And so I'm not saying don't read the Old Testament. However, I would say as a new Christian, definitely read the book of John first. And the reason why I say that is because there's debates. There's debates in the Christian world now. Is Jesus God, or is Jesus just the Son of God? Is he a prophet? And the one thing that you can cast no doubt on is there's one person in the world that thought Jesus was God. And that was John. Yeah. John knew Jesus was God. And if we say this is the inerrant word of God, then I don't think we can deny the fact that Jesus is God. And John dang sure didn't either. And so that's why I want people to get a good picture of who Jesus is. A brand new Christian, and that's how we get it, is in John, okay? And then what I'm having Bladen do right now is I wanted him to read Acts. And the reason why I wanted him to read Acts was because he's super in tune with the Spirit and the spiritual gifts. That really interests him. I said, well, you got to read Acts then.
Yeah, you got to go there and get it.
Acts tells you about, you know, the day of Pentecost and what happened in tongues and how you get baptized with the Holy Spirit.
And the importance of tongues.
Yeah, and so Acts is really, really good with that stuff. So that's why I had him read that next. And so if I was discipling people individually and I knew them personally, I might switch it up a little bit, but that's why I sent him to Acts next. And then I had him read Romans, because Romans is a favorite book for everyone, because that's how we learn. Romans 8:1 says, for there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That teaches you about
the grace.
Struggling with sin teaches you about grace. It teaches you about salvation. And then I'll take you back to, I'll take you from Romans, and then have you read all the way out to the end. And the reason why is because that'll teach you how to do church. Like, it'll answer your questions is, my church is doing this. Is this okay? If you read from Romans on, you'll get those answers. You know, I saw this person speaking in tongues, and they just sat there and spoke in tongues all the time, and nobody knew what they were doing. Ah, well, I read in 2 Corinthians, you know, whatever, that if someone speaks in tongues in church, there has to be a translator. You know, they did that wrong. So you can decide whether you're in church, and then you get to the seven books of the seven Revelation. You can learn how Jesus wants you to have church. And so that's why I want you to have a good, solid base of how to be a Christian. And I think, and reading the book in that order. And then what I'm going to do after he reads it all the way out, then I'm going to have him go back to Matthew, Mark, and Luke again. That way he can learn the synoptic gospels. That way he can learn the other accounts of Jesus. He'll get different accounts and stuff like that. And
okay. So that's pretty close to what I did. I read John, but then I went back and basically started at Matthew, and I'm just reading the New Testament.
That's a great suggestion. I personally would like John and then read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and then read Jude, and then go back.
Part
it
of
depends
me
on what that person is. But one of the things, in all honesty, is about the Bible that you choose to begin with. Look, I was raised King James. I carried around a new King James forever. I got an NIV and didn't care for it. Had to keep going back to the King James because that's what my mindset was on. But I've got this new men's Bible. Not too long ago, my wife bought it for me. It's called Every Man's Bible. And I got this one in the New Living Translation, the NLT. And even though I still reference with the others, at times when I question this, the language is modern day language. So it's much more comprehensible for me to pick up on the differences and be able to explain. See, I need to be able to explain to people about it. And trying to use the King James, it is like, you know, talking 14th century English to an American, sometimes that don't go over very well.
It's like reading Shakespeare.
Yes, exactly. And so if they don't like Shakespeare, then they're not going to like that. But on this one, it is the other parts of it. It is the explanations that are in it. It's the...
Oh, it's got commentary in it?
It's the commentary.
Yeah.
My wife uses a Life Application Study Bible. That was one of her first Bibles, and she uses those to help guide where she's going.
Yeah, how should I think about this verse? It makes you feel weird.
The Old Testament is extremely important, especially the Torah, and the Torah is the first four or five chapters of the Bible. Thank you, dear. I know I got it from both, and it sounded like, I'm sorry, my wife is sitting over there. I did not call Kyle dear. I call him son most of the time. Okay. So, caught me off guard with that one. Thank you. But there is a lot of commentary in here. There is also things that you can look up. And I used to pass, when I first started witnessing, I had God's Promises books with me all the time. And I would pass those out when I met people and I wanted to witness with them. And I felt a connection that I would give those to them. And one of my friends actually bought them for me because he wouldn't witness, but he had the finances to give me 50 books at a time. So I did, you know. But in this particular Bible, I found those were written here. And it gives me, you know, oh, I can look up something and I got verses right to where I can go and see what it says about this. I just turned the page and I see Satan. And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 subchapters with the pages where I can read about Satan. You know, people say that Satan's not mentioned in the Bible. Yeah, he is.
It's so much.
So much. But it's like everything. And so being, it is important which Bible helps you. I get up in the morning and I look forward to reading and growing and understanding more. And there is a different understanding. The deeper that you go, your understanding becomes different. It is easier said to this way. When Darcia first started, she was on milk. So she had to understand the little stuff before she could get to the big stuff. And eventually, because of her love for Joyce Meyer, she went and began digesting meat. And the more that she digested the meat, the more her understanding grew faster. She didn't carry the dogma of all the religion that I grew up with. So she didn't have the additional baggage that, you know, King James is the only verse that, or the only version that Jesus carried. King James wasn't even around.
He has a plethora of different voices that he does for people. And mine is the least favorite out of all of them.
Yes, but
he always makes me sound like this. 38 times, by the way, Satan's mentioned in the Bible.
Great. It shows me 10 things. But, you know, my point is,
I just figured I'd add that note.
It gives you a lot there's a lot more resources now than there was when I was a kid, trust me.
Yeah.
But when you have people that will argue over which version of the Bible, listen, that's just noise. I wrote a devotional on it this morning.
Did I tell you I wrote?
It's just noise.
I watched this video where there's this pastor screaming that
yes.
he could chop down the Greek with the King James version. I'm like, James is derived from Greek, bud.
Yes, and what language? What three languages was the original text written?
Latin, Hebrew, and Greek.
Greek, Aramaic, and Hebrew.
Told
Boom!
You.
Boom.
Told you.
Did you get it off the devotional this morning? No. It was on the devotional
I didn't
this
read
morning.
It yet.
It was also the reason that I didn't question the Geneva was because the Geneva Bible. Yes. So the Geneva Bible, you know,
are we talking about hair gel again?
I've been listening about Geneva so much on the Geneva Bible that, and I actually have one, that I didn't even think about the Geneva Convention.
Yeah.
And the Geneva Convention is what they did because Geneva is actually in Switzerland, which is the only neutral country in the world.
Okay. Before we leave, I want to tell you something. Earlier, you were telling this story about, you said, it's like, oh, having the evil eye. And you said, it's like, for example, I see your watch. I see it. I say, I like it. And then you give it to me, right? That's literally what happened today. This is Larry Autry's watch. I went up to Larry Autry and I said, dude, I love that watch. And I told Angela, we need to get us, you, I need to start getting watches like Larry Autry. And he goes, that's crazy. I feel like I should probably like not keep this now.
I know Larry Autry enough to know that he obeyed God at that moment.
Yeah.
Okay. And here's
nothing is his. He always gives it away. If somebody likes something, it's God's way of giving. You give it to them.
Yeah.
That basically is what it says.
I'll wear it forever now. I'll remember it.
But here's the thing. Somehow, God knew I needed an example, and that was the example, and I didn't know the story behind it.
I'm just curious
Think that through.
Anybody listen to this episode, by the way, you have any questions about what went on in this episode, I want you to email us at info@helpmyunbelief.org. That's info@helpmyunbelief.org. If you want to give your heart to the Lord, email us there. Someone will get back to you and let you know, how that can happen. Okay. And if you have any questions about any confusion or anything about the episode today, please,
you're not going to do it in that really weird, Southern Baptist voice, are you?
Yeah. Give your heart to the Lord today. Just raise your right hand and tell me right now, do you confess that Jesus is Lord? I do. Then be cleansed from the demons. How was that? You think that'd be good?
That was perfect.
Thank you. Thank you.
So wrong.
Do you feel it, sister? Do you feel it? No. How about now? All right. Take us out, Larry.
Some days Jesus loves you and so do I.
Thank you for watching and listening. We are out. Thank you for watching or listening all the way to the end. To be a guest on the show or to get a hold of us, please contact us at info@helpmyunbelief.org. And more importantly, make sure to check out new episodes every Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Central.